Medical marijuana is legal in Washington State, has been for a while, but the sale and distribution of medical pot is largely unregulated. The State Liquor Control Board is now drawing up regulations for the legal sale of recreational marijuana to adults. Can the two systems, one highly regulated and taxed, the other unregulated and untaxed, coexist? Well, Washington Republican State Senator Ann Rivers thinks not. She's proposed legislation that would have the Liquor Control Board license and regulate medical marijuana dispensaries, processors, and growers. Senator Rivers, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ross. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Why is this necessary? What's going to happen if we don't have more regulation on medical marijuana?
Well, my concern is that medical marijuana, as it currently exists, would represent an opportunity for people to sidestep the provisions of I-502. For a number of reasons, I don't think that that's a great idea.
As you know, some say we should just let these regulations on recreational marijuana go into place and then wait and see what happens before dealing with medical marijuana. You obviously don't want to wait. Why is that?
Well, I think that a hurry up and wait is not the best policy because we need to address, I just think we need to address this sooner than later. We're in a situation right now where the Liquor Control Board is doing a study to talk about implementation, rules and regulations and so forth. And I think in order to streamline and harmonize the two initiatives, 502 and 692, I think that we need to have a holistic approach we need to use the study to take a holistic approach to how we manage both systems so that they're complementary rather than in conflict with one another.
Well, one thing we know about the recreational marijuana sales is they'll be heavily taxed, 25%. For growers, 25% for processors, 25% for retailers. And one of the things you're talking about is taxes on medical marijuana. Would they be at that same level?
No. And the reality is that the tax would be on the operators under medical marijuana. So what we're looking at is a situation where you're going to have one side, the general adult use, very, very, you know, taxed very frankly pretty heavily, and then you have the medical marijuana side, which is there's nothing really. The people pay some B&O taxes if they have a business license, but beyond that there's really no regulation or anything like that. So what that creates for us is sort of a loophole for people who don't make the cut under I-502 because they're too young to participate legally. So they can go on the internet and they can get an authorization. For me, it's really a parental concern when you've got your child is receiving medical treatment without your knowledge, and I think that that's something that really needs to be addressed.
Senator Rivers, are you going to get this passed? Has this been voted out of committee yet? What do you think your chances are?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the exciting thing for me is I think it was, more than anything else, I think it was time to start the discussion. And we've done that. I've heard from proponents. I've heard from opponents. And in the final analysis, I think it's just going to make the discussion richer, broader, and more full. For example, we just had our hearing in Ways and Means, and someone said, you know, you ought to have a cannabis control board, and don't put it in Department of Health, don't put it here, don't put it there, it ought to be its own thing. And you know what? I think that's a great idea. Additionally, there was some discussion about allowing veterans to seek treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder, and we had actually had an amendment in the making on that. I don't know if this will get through or not, but This is what I do know. In as much as it's really gotten a great discussion started, it's been very successful so far, and that we have a budget proviso asking for that study to take the holistic approach, I feel really good about that, too.
Senator Rivers, I can't let you go without asking you about Columbia Crossing. Your district is in southern Washington, close to the proposed new I-5 bridge. Now, the Oregon legislature has approved funding for this. Should the Washington legislature do the same?
I don't see that happening this year, no.
You're against it?
I'm for a project, but I want to make sure it's the right project. My dad was a carpenter, and he always said, measure twice, cut once. And I think that that's the approach we need to be taking here, because every time we take a measurement with the CRC, it comes up as something different. We need to make sure that we have the best information, the soundest policy, and then we can move forward. But as it stands today, it doesn't really pass the straight face test.
Give me one example of where you think the information is fuzzy and needs more specificity before you'll approve funding for the Columbia Crossing.
Well, I think that the bridge design in the last report, the design was described as risky and unproven. That for me is uncomfortable, but to the larger point, the bridge height is a very serious issue. We have bridge users upstream of the bridge who need every bit of the height that they can get for the type of goods that they're shipping out to the ocean. And for us to not consider them and to not fix the height so that they can continue to do business, I think is unforgivable. So.
Senator Rivers, I really appreciate you talking to me today. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much, Ross. Have a great day.
Washington Republican State Senator Ann Rivers.